You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2008, the 15th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Boston, Massachusetts from February 3rd through February 6th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of the Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions. Accompanying me on this interview is Dr. Gerald Perrone, a clinician and researcher who is the director of the AIDS Research and Treatment Center of the Treasure Coast in Fort Pierce, Florida.
My name's Megan Crane. I'm from Monash University in Melbourne, Australia. What we were actually looking at was the phenomenon of flares in HIV-HBV co-infected patients shortly after they begin the heart treatment. So what happens... What happened in our study, we had 36 patients in Thailand that were on a heart regimen, and within 12 weeks of starting the heart, they actually, 8 of the 36 patients, so about 25%, suffered a hepatic flare, which we defined as a higher than normal ALT, basically. And we hypothesised that this was basically an immune reconstitution syndrome. So the CD4 cells come back because of the heart. You get a renewed response to your underlying infections, which in this case is the HPV. So basically just looking at immune markers of immune activation in the patient plasma, and we're looking at some markers of NK cell activation in the PBMCs. And what we found basically was that... this is just summarising the clinical data, basically. But we had the flare cases had their ALT flare around 8 weeks, and they had higher viral loads from baseline up to week 10. From our lab data, we found in the the controls, which were the ones that didn't flare, the levels of CXCL10, which is a T-cell activation marker and a marker of activated natural killer cells, that actually fell over the 12 weeks. And in our cases, ones that flared, that level of CXCL10 was maintained. Soluble CD30 is another marker of T-cell activation that actually peaked in our flare cases at week 8, which is mirroring what happened with the ALT. Levels of soluble CD26, which is a marker of... it's produced in response to interferon gamma production. We didn't find any difference between the case and control groups, but they both actually increased over the 12-week period. Correlations, we found that CXCL10 and soluble CD30, as well as IL-18 and MCP1, actually correlated with high LT. In terms of our NK cells, what we were actually looking for was trying to emulate what we saw in, what another group saw in HPV mono-infection, where activated NK cells... were important in the flares that occur, just acute flares in HPV. So they found increased levels of TRAIL expression, which is just an apoptosis-inducing factor on the NK cells in the liver and the periphery of those patients. We didn't find that in our co-infected patients. So I think there's something different going on in the mono-infection and the co-infection setting. Basically, this is the first study to look at immune... reconstitution disease in HIV-HBV co-infected patients.
So this has never been described before?
Well, it has been sort of in the clinic. It's been described, so it's been seen, but no one actually has looked at the immune mechanisms that are involved. So this is the first kind of feeling out, testing out what's going on. So we're quite happy that we found, some interesting things going on with the soluble CD.
What are your next steps in this?
Next steps, so this is a pilot study, basically. We're going to get a bigger cohort. We'll follow on looking at these kind of immune activation markers. We'll expand it, look at a lot more things because we'll have a lot more cells. And basically, we also wanted to include the seroconversion aspect of it. So these flares that occur in this IOD setting can actually be beneficial to the patient in that they'll actually end up clearing the virus. So we're hoping to sort of try and correlate, the immune events that lead to viral clearance or the immune events that, in one case, we actually had one patient die from a very, excuse me, very severe flare. So maybe those immune events are different in those two situations.
Yeah. Were there any clinical factors that, you could look back on that would separate the patients that had a flare versus those that did not?
So there is the higher baseline ALT, which is pretty well described in this to predict a flare in this setting. The higher HPV viral loads is also another predictor, and low CD4 count. If you have a very low CD4 count to begin with, you're going to have a greater sort of rebound in your CD4 cells and possibly a greater immune response to your underlying infection.
So maybe one of the messages for clinicians would be if you have a co-infected patient with high viral load, low CD4 count, higher LFTs to begin with, be careful of that patient.
An acute flare. They're very, I'm not a clinician, but from what I know, it's very poor sort of guidelines as to what to do with these patients and what to look out for and how do you treat them. So there's a lot of debate at the moment about whether to treat the HBV first before you start your heart regimen, or to, like we say, just sort of almost let them have the flare but monitor it very closely so you don't get a situation where someone dies. But let them have the flare because that could lead to actually viral clearances. Mm-hmm. It could be a beneficial effect, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on CROI 2008 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2008.